Yesterday, one of the world's most famous film directors, Federico Fellini, died in Rome at the age of 73. Fellini won 4 Oscars for his movies La Strada, The Knights of Cabiria, 8½, and Amarcord. He won an Oscar for Lifetime Achievement in March. Fresh Air producer Naomi Person spoke with our film critic, Stephen Schiff.
Stephen, what do you think Fellini's place is in the pantheon of great filmmakers of this century?
I think in a way Fellini is kind of a luxury in the history of cinema. I mean, he's sort of not integral to it and not necessary to it. He comes out of a tradition of makers of artifice that includes Georges Méliès and Joseph von Sternberg, back with The Scarlet Empress and all those Marlene Dietrich films, and finally reaches its height with Orson Welles. I mean, the amount of really clever artifice in movies like Citizen Kane and even Touch of Evil. And Fellini has that same willingness and need to make something more than real and make something more elaborate and larger than life and more cartoonish and more crazy and just to pop your eyes out of the skull. But it was Welles himself who once said of Fellini that he showed, I'm quoting, dangerous signs of being a superlative artist with little to say. And I think that's true of Fellini. That condition, having abundant talent and skill and yet nothing to articulate with it, is the theme of his one single truly great movie, I think the movie that will last, 8½. It's a phantasmagoria about an artist who really has all the gifts but has nothing to do with them. He used to like to talk about the cinema as being a circus and life as being a circus. And circus is not the highest of art forms. A circus is kind of on the level of, if you'll pardon me, dumb spectacle. And Fellini was a maker of spectacle. He was a maker of visual images that proclaimed their artificiality and proclaimed their kind of grotesquerie and their wore all their humor and all their heart and all their nostalgia and all their sentiment very much on their sleeves. You know, all those yummy colors and billowing cellophane seas and, you know, all those tootling marchers with their little brass horns and fat people leering at the camera. It all is Fellini-esque, that's for sure. And when we see it in life, which is not too often, we say, oh my gosh, it's Fellini-esque. But actually, it's really a sort of a tick or a mannerism. It's peculiar to him. And in a way, once it's been enunciated, it doesn't have much more to say about itself. Fellini, in a way, became the kind of prisoner of his own mannerisms as he went on.
Fellini started out as one of his early jobs was as a cartoonist. Do you think that had any, like, relation to where he ended up or how so?
Well, yeah, exactly, because Fellini has a cartoon sensibility. It is, first and foremost, a visual sensibility. I mean, he really didn't care much about performance or even about character, so much so that he would dub all his actors. He was famous for having huge international casts from Africa and from Middle Asia and from Europe picked for their looks, and he would have them sort of stand around counting in their native language, and then he would just dub in whatever dialogue he wanted, and it always sounded fakey, as we might say, and it was. It simply was. He had raised artifice to such a level, though, that something realistic would have been strikingly out of place.
One of Fellini's later movies was Ginger and Fred, and it was about an Italian couple who had danced, and they had taken their names from Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. Do you think that Fellini took anything from American movies?
I think he honored American movies, and like almost everyone making movies in Europe at the time that he did, he saw the Americans as leaders in the sort of making of mainstream commercial cinema and the invention of cinematic technique. But there's really not an awful lot of American influence on his movies. You know, Fellini retreated into the world of the studio, Cinecittà, just as American movies were breaking out into the real world, into you know, the real streets of cities and into the real sort of plains and onto the road of Middle America and finding out what lighter equipment and smaller sound recording equipment could do to free up a director to make something more authentic and real. Fellini, of course, went in just the opposite direction.
What was Fellini's influence?
I think in a way he's had almost none, really. I mean, he influenced Woody Allen at his worst. I mean, and when you're saying that the influence of Fellini was even worse than the influence of Bergman, you're really saying something. Almost no one else that I can see on the contemporary scene really takes a leaf from Fellini's book. I mean, these mannerisms that we came to call Fellini-esque are really his and his alone. And maybe that's as it should be. I'd hate to see someone trying to imitate Fellini.
Stephen, the actor River Phoenix also died this weekend at a... He was 50 years younger than Fellini. He was 23. He was an actor who received a lot of critical acclaim for the risks he'd taken in his roles.
Yeah, that was just a very haunting tragedy. You know, River Phoenix was so young and so full of potential, and you picked him right out from the moment you first saw him in the movie Explorers in 1985. And then in Stand By Me as sort of the tough, intimidating, but very young kid, he was so striking. He had such presence and such a very clear devotion to the work and to exploring character at a really precocious age. He made this movie, My Own Private Idaho, a couple years ago, in which he played someone with narcolepsy who seemed to be living in a sort of strange, tragic, surreal dream world. And just the feeling of this early and unexpected death associates itself in my mind with that role. And it's really sad and really haunting and a real loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Stephen, for talking with us.
Sure.
Stephen Schiff spoke with Fresh Air producer Naomi Person. Stephen is Fresh Air's film critic and critic at large for The New Yorker.